105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Cambridge 105. 5:33, and on the alternate Friday, it is the Gadget Guide. And no Lawrence this week, but I'm pleased to say we have got Rob Chipperfield, and we also have a guest as well, Rob.
Yes, evening, Julian, and welcome along to Gadget Guide number 45, the seventh one of 2014. And in just a moment, I'm going to be joined here with James Allison, who's one of the local independent computer games developers, and we're going to be talking about the Oculus Rift, new virtual reality headset that's making big waves really on the market. Quick bit of tech news first of all, and I'm sure that if you've been watching the news at all in the last week, you'll have heard about the Heartbleed bug, which has been making the rounds.
I have. In fact, we carried a news story, actually in our main news, funnily enough, yesterday, and that was referring to people maybe having to hold back in terms of updating their passwords. What's the latest on that?
So what happened is that there was a computer bug in one of the big bits of software that actually secures your interaction with mostly websites. So if you go to your internet banking website, for example, and you see the little padlock icon up in the address bar, that tells you it's secure. Well, there was a bug that lasted, actually, it was out there for up to 2 years, so a long time before someone discovered it, but a fairly serious bug that meant that attackers could potentially see little bits of information from the web server. And they fixed the bug, that's fine, and pretty much everyone out there who runs a website has already updated. Everyone got on the case very, very quickly. But, of course, it means because this was out there for so long, it may have been that the bad guys actually attacked these web servers in the past and got your passwords some time ago. So the recommendation is change your passwords for anything important. So your internet banking, for example, or maybe your email account, and if you use webmail, that sort of thing. But it's only any point changing a password if the site has already done this update, because if they've still got the bug in their software, then you're changing your password now, someone could still be getting at your new password. So maybe just leave it a couple more days and then go and change your passwords. So if you remember, we talked about these password managers in the past, things like LastPass and KeePass and 1Password. If you haven't already gone to one of those, definitely check out a password manager. A lot of them are free. And that can take all of the hassle out of trying to remember 20 different passwords.
I adopted one after we did that piece, and for the most part, it has been very useful indeed.
Yeah, and in fact, some of the services, I think, certainly LastPass, have actually got a little checklist that you can go through your password database, and it'll tell you which of the sites were affected by this Heartbleed bug. And also which of them have already done this update, patched themselves, gotten new certificates, and therefore which ones it's a good idea to go and change now and which ones you need to just hang on for a couple more days.
Oh, that's very good. And the lists, I guess people can do a search on the internet and there'll be a sorted list that people can use.
Exactly. Like I say, most of the major websites reacted very, very quickly. It was probably one of the fastest responses by the IT industry for quite a long time. Everyone was rushing around like absolute mad, trying to contain this as soon as it was announced publicly. Anyway, that's that one. Another one really on the security theme, and that's Windows XP. Do you remember that coming out? It was 2002, I think, it was first released.
That's a long time ago.
It was, and they finally killed it last week. Microsoft have finally ended support for Windows XP. So that means no more Windows updates, no more security fixes, nothing like that. What you've got now is what you've got, except, of course, people will still be discovering these problems in the future, and that means it's going to get less and less secure over time because you're not getting those Windows updates. So if you've still got a computer that's running Windows XP, maybe now's a good time to maybe look for a new PC or an upgrade to
retire
to Windows 8.
Or find something a little bit more contemporary.
Exactly. In much brighter news, though, Netflix, who we've talked about in the past, the sort of video on demand, they've launched the pilot of 4K streaming. So this is this new ultra-high definition. So if you thought that that high definition, 1080p, like you get on Blu-ray, if you thought that was good, Netflix are now starting to offer 4K, which is, I think, over twice the resolution of 1080p. Whether you've got anything that can actually display it at that resolution or not is another question. as is the whether your internet connection is actually going to be fast enough. Because
what's any idea what sort of speeds one might need?
I think they were talking about 12 to 15 megabit a second. So that means that over half of the UK population don't have a fast enough internet connection at the moment.
A friend of mine got an invitation to join I could even name it, really, but I won't name the company, but offering broadband speeds of, you know, something like 8 megs, I think. It was,
yes, and for a lot of people, especially in more rural areas, that's completely common. That's the fastest they can get. My parents are lucky if they get 2 megabit a second. So things like 4K streaming are not quite on their horizon.
A complete aside, I did bump into a guy at a conference last week who is running his own internet service with with a friend into a rural area, I think in the West Country, and he has something like 110 people signed up and delivering broadband to an area that otherwise would be deprived on it. He says he makes no money on it whatsoever, but it's a good way to meet everybody, and he gets enough money for a semi-decent holiday once a year.
And that seems to be becoming more and more common as well, is these sort of rural community broadband, where basically a village gets together, they decide they've had enough of their slow broadband, and they sort it out between them.
Yeah, this I could talk more about. Maybe we should get him on actually at some point.
An
interesting conversation.
Good plan. Anyway, that's a quick bit of news. Now on to virtual reality, and joining us today is James Allison. Afternoon, James.
Hi, Rob.
And thanks very much for coming along. So your background, you're a games developer at the moment, but effectively working for yourself, having come through a few other companies, haven't you?
Yes, so since graduating, I worked at Electronic Arts for about 4 years, and then moved to Cambridge to work at Redgate Software.
So EA are one of the really big game studios, aren't they? So what are some of the titles people might have heard of coming out of there?
So if you've heard of FIFA Soccer or Need for Speed or Battlefield...
All of the really big games, and I guess that's hundreds of people working for months or years on end, isn't it, really, to develop something?
Oh yeah, if you look at the credits of any of those titles, you'll see, well, you probably won't sit till the end of them. It's massive, but yes, they're huge projects, which generally take a long time to actually reach production,
and massive budget as well. And you've gone from that really to is it just you on your own?
Yes, at the moment it's just me and my own. By myself, which is interesting.
Well, it must be a bit of a change from the working in the team of that many people to just you. In is it in the upstairs bedroom or the coffee shop? Is it the sort of proper indie?
So I'm actually mostly camping out at in the cafe at the local gym.
Well, that sounds good.
Working actually sort of in the house, you do need to kind of see other people. It's.
And how are you finding that compared to the sort of the whole life in the office? And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, at the moment. I mean, it's only been a month so far, but it's definitely nice escaping the 9 till 5 and kind of actually working when you feel productive, and then
taking some time off when you're not. So what's your first project then? What are you working on, if you're allowed to tell us?
So I mean, the first title is it's an Oculus Rift based game. Which, rather not going into too much detail.
No, but that's fine.
It involves safari animals. That's about as far as I'm prepared to say.
That sounds interesting.
I have a bit of pressure on this. Elephants, tigers, what?
So, giraffes are the main primary focus at the other stage.
I've heard it here first, giraffes.
I think we claim exclusivity on that
one. I think so too.
You're excellent. Well, you'll have to come back and tell us about it when it is out, but... The reason you're here, really, is to talk about the Oculus Rift itself. And for anyone who's not heard of that, what is it, first off?
Right, so the Oculus Rift, it's a virtual reality headset. So these were kind of popular, in game shows in like the early 90s, as kind of massive, huge, chunky units, which had incredibly poor graphics and made people sick. So... The technology has been refined a bit since, and they've had a recent resurgence, probably in the last 2 years, as some fairly key people have got behind the technology and actually pressed forward, actually making it good.
So in terms of what it looks like, it looks a little bit like a giant pair of ski goggles to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of you put it on, it's got like a ski goggle strap, and it's essentially a flat screen panel just placed directly in front of your eyes.
And the advantage of that over just using your computer monitor, presumably, is that it's more immersive.
So it's because it's part of the ski goggles, it completely blacks out everything, all your peripheral vision, so you can only see what you're supposed to be seeing. And one of the key things about the Oculus Rift, it's got a very wide field of view. So the lenses in front of your eyes actually make you feel
sort of like part of the world, almost.
Part of the world, yes. Mm. Very immersive.
I guess there's a variation on when somebody who wears glasses, when you go to the opticians and they say, are you going to use them for driving? And they try and give you a pair of glasses which covers your eyes and doesn't have too thick a rim, because otherwise you're going to be distracted by that. And it feels like it's a variation on that same theme in a roundabout way.
So basically the idea is to basically completely fill your vision, so you don't get distracted.
I guess if you were distracted, that would that would almost take the carpet away from the illusion.
Well, absolutely, it ruins the illusion. You don't feel like you're in the world.
Yeah,
that's the aim we're trying to get to.
So it's interesting that you mentioned the sickness, and certainly when the Rift was first coming out, that was something that was in the press a lot. Why is it that these things do make people feel sick?
It's the same as 3D, isn't it? The same, similar kind of problem.
Absolutely. So the reason is, in your head, in your inner ear, you have this thing called the vestibular system. And this is all to do with your balance. So you may have noticed if you get like a really bad cold, sometimes you feel a bit unsteady on your feet sometimes. And your vestibular system is connected quite well to your vision system, so you get a lot of visual cues from what you're seeing, and that has to tie in with what you're actually feeling.
And this presumably is why you get seasick as well, is it?
Absolutely, because if you're on a boat, gravity is not where you think it should be, if that makes sense. So your brain gets confused, and as a result, if your brain isn't giving you the correct information, that could be a sign of poisoning.
And so presumably when it comes to the VR headsets, it's if you're looking around and the game isn't moving with you, is that what would then make you sick?
Yes, so basically if you're moving your head, you expect to kind of feel differences in where down is. And if you're not getting that, then there's a disconnect and something's wrong.
And that's what then makes you sick. So you got one of the very first Oculus Rifts, didn't you, to play with?
Yeah, so the Oculus Rift was initially launched via a Kickstarter campaign. So about December last, 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago.
Yep.
It was launched on Kickstarter, so I got one of the early development kits. It was very good, but when I first got it, I loaded up Half-Life 2, which is one of the first games to actually implement support for this. And after about 20 minutes of playing with it, I had properly broken my head.
had to take a break.
Yeah, it took me about 4 hours to recover from that initial encounter with the Oculus Rift.
Presumably they've got better since then.
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of research has been done into kind of ways to minimise like the sickness you get. So a lot of it is caused by the latency between turning your head and actually having the frame, like the picture, updates. So they've been doing a lot of work to actually reduce that, so you get like an immediate
Yeah, so it's just reacting quicker, effectively.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, talking of taking a break, shall we do a quick break for some music, and then maybe come back to it in a couple of moments to what we can see going forward for the Rift, and maybe some of the developments that are happening in the next few months to years.
We're in the middle of the Gadget Guide, and we're talking a virtual reality.
Yes, thanks, Julian. So we're talking about the Oculus Rift, and my guest today is James Allison, who's one of the local games developers, and in fact developing a title for the Oculus Rift. James, you mentioned that Half-Life was one of the earlier games for it. What sort of games work in this sort of virtual reality? Your whole world is taken about, and I can't imagine sort of Spade of Solitaire, which is my mum's favourite game, the sort of low graphics card games. I can't imagine that sort of thing being good, but what are the best sorts of games for virtual reality?
So in terms of avoiding sickness, the sickness comes from when you're expecting movement, which your body doesn't feel. So as a result, most of the time you're playing one of these games, you're going to be sat down in a chair. So
you're not running around. Too many cables.
You're not running around. You're not jumping off buildings. You're not jumping onto trains. Anything where you'd expect like a massive acceleration or kind of change of view is going to make you feel a bit queasy. So games which tend to work quite well are games which are mainly set in a cockpit. So you've got something around you.
Flight simulators and that sort of thing.
Flight simulators seem to work quite well because you've actually got something steady in front of you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To actually maintain.
So in other words, it's when you are actually sitting in a chair or similar in the game.
Yes.
And you're sitting in a chair in real life. Then that works best.
And you've got something fixed in your viewpoint, which is actually kind of providing a frame of reference to prevent this kind of sensory overload of a...
Okay, so what are the, you know, are there sort of well-known games titles that, and Half-Life, obviously, but, you know, are there some particularly well-known ones that people can look out for on the Rift if they were to go and play one?
So I believe there's a Eve Vengeance, I think, is...
Okay, what sort of game is that?
So this is like a space shootery game, I would say.
Right.
So the demo is available online if you search it out.
And if people do want to go and buy a Rift, I know you mentioned earlier that it was on Kickstarter for the initial funding, but can you just go and buy one, presumably not down at your local electronics store, but are they on the market generally now?
So if you go to the Oculus VR website, they've just started pre-orders for the DK2, which is Development Kit 2. So this is like an updated version. So the initial dev kit came out kind of like about a year ago. This is going to be start shipping in July. And this has a high resolution panel, so it won't be quite as pixely as the previous version. They've reduced the latency on it as well, so there's less motion blur and it responds quicker to movements.
And less sickness again.
And hopefully less sickness as a result, although I've not used one, so I can't.
And how much are we talking for these? And obviously it's very early stage at the moment, but rough guess of how expensive it will be for someone to go out and buy one.
So I've pre-ordered one, and I believe it was $350.
Okay, so about, what's that, £250, £200?
About that,
like
yes.
That.
I mean, don't quote me on that price, I'm just remembering, but I believe that's the price I paid.
One always worries that, you know, you buy something at that price, and then sort of fortnight later you discover that $50 have come off.
Well, so the one thing to say at the moment is these are the development kits, so they're not the consumer version, and as a result, they're priced. So I would imagine the consumer version will be a little cheaper. It's quite interesting now that Facebook have bought the company.
Yes, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago in the news. Was it $2 billion, I think?
Something ridiculous like that, yes. But, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg clearly saw this as being the next big platform.
This has got to be good news for people like yourself. Yeah, you're developing games, and now the product that you're developing for is going to be supported by Facebook.
Absolutely. So it's the actual acquisition went down the kind of mixed opinions in the developer community. Facebook is kind of renowned for its lack of privacy, I guess, and it offends a lot of people's sensibilities, particularly in the development community. However, they do provide an awful amount of funding, and in terms of cash flow for this company starting up, they'll be able to launch in a far more timely manner to a far wider audience.
And presumably all the marketing that comes
with
Facebook.
Absolutely. So as a result, any title you do launch for it will presumably have a larger audience.
Yeah. And of course, just while we've got a moment or two before we reach the end, I can see Neil ready to go in Studio B next door. It's not just the Oculus Rift, though, is it? This whole sort of technology area is seeing a resurgence. And I think Sony have got their eye on the market as well, haven't they?
Absolutely. Sony have, like, a recent GDC sort of announced their Project Morpheus.
I love the name. straight from the Matrix.
Absolutely. Which is a very similar headset. The hardware specs are very similar. And that's designed for use of PlayStation 4.
Which has just started shipping, I think, the PS4?
Yes, so that was launched just before Christmas, I think. But that's going to be very interesting. They use very similar technologies, so games will be presumably supporting both.
And just finally, is this is this just going to be another fad? Is it going to be like 3D sort of turned out to be in the cinema and like a few other technologies have been in the past? Or is this something that's going to be here to stay and, you know, firmly take place in, you know, take root in the gaming community, and 5 years from now, everyone will just be playing games in virtual reality?
So it's hard to say at this stage. One thing I would say is it's a very different experience to anything you're used to playing before, and certainly one I would like to see more of.
Fantastic. James, thanks very much for joining me.
That's been a pleasure.
And we'll be back with more Gadget Guide in a couple of weeks' time.